But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if he hadn't worked it out for you, you know what you need to do tonight?
This is KAYT-FM, 88.1 Gina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, 100.1 Lake Charles, and KQJO-FM, 99.3 Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
The Civil War was over. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the United States Constitution ended slavery, guaranteed citizenship, and expanded voting rights to African Americans. African Americans looked upon the future with optimism.
Freedom to enslaved Africans meant a whole new world, but it meant something completely different to white segregationists. They were not used to this, and they wanted to take this liberty away, this freedom away from African Americans.
In the late 19th century, Memphis was a bustling city on the banks of the Mississippi River. Memphis was an ideal home for Ida B. Wells, a teacher turned journalist from northern Mississippi. She co-owned a successful newspaper, the Free Speech and Headlight, located on Bill Street in downtown Memphis. Wells published articles in the paper to expose injustices against African Americans.
She was unrelenting. She was a fighter. She was courageous. She was very independent. She was a feminist before feminism was in mode.
In March 1892, Thomas Moss, a friend of Wells, was murdered at the hands of a mob. This would change her life forever.
Thomas Moss, in so many ways, sort of was emblematic of what was happening, of the rise of blacks in the South. He did everything one just had to do to rise, and was just a sterling citizen.
Everybody in town knew and loved Tommy, an exemplary young man. He was married and the father of one little girl, Maureen, whose godmother I was. He and his wife, Betty, were the best friends I had in town, and he believed, with me, that we should fight wrong whenever we saw it.
Moss, a mail carrier by day, was a part owner of the People's Grocery, an African-American-owned cooperative store. The People's Grocery was located in South Memphis at an area known as the Curve.
It was seen as an outstanding thing in the black community because it gave them an opportunity to, first of all, patronize their own people, and it helped to sort of infuse the belief that black entrepreneurship could flourish in Memphis.
The success of the People's Grocery escalated economic tensions with William Barrett, a white grocery store owner whose business was also in the area. In early March of 1892, a game of marbles escalated into a fight among African American and white children who were playing outside the People's Grocery. The fight grew quickly. Soon a large crowd was engaged in a brawl near the cooperative. Allegedly, two employees of the People's Grocery, William Stewart and Calvin McDowell, joined in the skirmish.
Barrett tried to get the place shut down, and he went to the authorities in Memphis and reported that the place was a public nuisance. And, of course, the authorities in Memphis at that time were all too willing to accommodate Mr. Barrett.
A Shelby County judge deputized William Barrett and a group of white men. The judge gave Barrett permission to take action against those running the People's Grocery. Fearing retribution from angry whites, the owners of the People's Grocery asked for protection from authorities. However, that protection was refused. On March 5th, 1892, Barrett and his men armed themselves and marched towards the People's Grocery.
The African-American man who owned the People's Grocery had gotten word that authorities were coming to look into the charges that had been filed by Mr. Barrett. And so there were several other black men in the store at the time. And sensing that there may be some trouble, they were indeed armed. Law enforcement officials who were not dressed as law enforcement, they were actually dressed in plain clothes, showed up and pretty much raided the place. As a result of the raid, shots were fired.
Thomas Moss, Kevin McDowell, and William Stewart were later arrested and held at the Shelby County Jail.
Even when they were in jail, there was talk of a lynching that was going to take place because they had shot these deputies.
Beginning in the late 19th century, whites used lynchings, horrific and unlawful executions, to terrorize African Americans who challenged white supremacy.
Lynching becomes this kind of form of terrorism because it means that no black person is ever safe. They will not even get to defend themselves if they're accused of a crime.
African Americans saw Memphis as a place relatively safe from the practice of lynching. This belief was shattered on March 9, 1892, at around 2:30 a.m., when 75 white men wearing masks surrounded the Shelby County Jail.
While they slept, a body of picked men were admitted to the jail, which was a modern bastille. They took out of their cells Thomas Moss, Calvin McDowell, and Will Stewart, these three officials of the People's Grocery, put them on a switch engine of the railroad, which ran back of the jail, carried a mile north of the city limits, and shot them to death.
The newspaper, the Appeal Avalanche, was tipped off that the men would be taken from their cells. As a matter of fact, a reporter, once he got the tip, showed up and was there to report it all.
The ringleaders in the assault on the deputies who raided the Curve last Saturday night are missing from their cells in the Shelby County Jail this morning. It is a reasonable inference that Judge Lynch has passed sentence upon them, and that this sentence has been executed. Not a gun was fired, not a shot was heard, until they read it in this morning's Appeal Avalanche. The people living in the vicinity of the jail will not know that the Avengers swooped down last night and sent the murderous souls of the ringleaders in the Curve riot to eternity.
From the newspaper columns, it was said that Thomas Moss begged for his life for the sake of his wife and child and his unborn baby. That when asked if he had anything to say, told them to tell my people to go west. There was no justice for them here. That Calvin McDowell got a hold of one of the guns of the lynchers, and that a shot was fired into his closed fist. Where the three bodies were found, the fingers of McDowell's right hand had been shot to pieces, proving that those who wrote the newspaper piece were eyewitnesses or got the facts from someone who was.
No one was arrested for these murders. Soon thereafter, an angry white mob ransacked and destroyed the People's Grocery.
The lynching at the Curve was shocking, particularly because the three men who were killed were all well-known, upstanding members of the community, that there was no accusation of any crime. And it made blacks in Memphis, such as Wells, begin to question whether they had any future in Memphis.
She was the first one, and a woman, to realize that lynching had its base not in the myth of black men being attracted sexually to white women, but that it was an economic means of keeping the black folk down. She was the first one. I mean, this woman had some brains.
Ida B. Wells was furious after the lynchings of these men. Emboldened by this injustice, Wells used her paper, The Free Speech, to confront and condemn whites who supported or ignored racial violence against African Americans. In May 1892, only a few months after the lynchings of Moss, McDowell, and Stewart, an angry mob of whites destroyed Wells' office on Bill Street, where she published The Free Speech. Wells was out of town during the attack. However, whites threatened to lynch Wells if she returned to the city. Because of this threat, Wells never returned to Memphis to live. Memphis transformed Wells into a champion for civil rights and a crusader against lynching. Her experience in the city would shape her activism the remainder of her life.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
This program is brought to you by Emory University.
Shortly after Pearl Harbor, you know, it's the day that will live in infamy, December 7th, 1941. Well, in January 1942, when the U.S. is fully into the Second World War, this war against supremacy, this war for democracy, this war for human rights, in Sykeston, Missouri, in January 1942, you have the lynching of Cleo Wright. Now, the way that this began is that Cleo Wright had broke into a white woman's home and attempted to rape her. She fought him off. Great. And then she's yelling, you know, get him, get him, get him. The cops come. The cops are running after Cleo. They catch him. He fights. He slashes one of the police officers. They fight back, they shoot him. He gets about 8 bullet wounds in him. I mean, he's almost good and done for. Now the thing is that, but he's still alive. So they try to like, okay, I guess we gotta get him some medical care. So they take him to the hospital. Well, it's a whites only hospital because medical care in the United States in the 1940s is Jim Crowed. And there are no black hospitals in the United States, particularly in the Boot Hill of Missouri. So they take him to the white hospital, they begin to plug him up, but you know, and put a little gauze here, a little gauze there, but the doctor's very clear. Okay, now you know he's black. He can't stay here. So we've done the best we can do. So I don't know where you're gonna take him, but he's not staying here overnight. And so they try to find places that they eventually take him back to the jail. But by the time they get him back to the jail, the lynch mob has formed. They are absolutely incensed because when you begin to think about it, this is a black man who has tried to rape a white woman and then has slashed a police officer. I mean, he has violated every last single code in Jim Crow America. Now, you would also think that, okay, now he's in jail. He can go through the criminal justice system if he happens to survive his wounds. But that wasn't enough for the mob. When you hear the statements from the lynch party, they describe, oh, it is time they've gotten a little uppity. It is time to put them back in their place. And so the lynch mob storms the jail, pulls Cleo Wright out of this jail. And again, this is a man that's got 8 bullet wounds in him. They tie him to the back bumper of a car. Then they take off driving into the black neighborhood. And you can imagine this body riddled with 8 bullets bouncing along the rough roads of Sykeston, Missouri. They stopped the car in the black neighborhood near a black church where folks are in there on Sunday morning singing praises to God. They cut Cleo Wright's body loose from that bumper. Somehow he is still alive. They then take 5 gallons worth of gasoline, pour it over him, and light a match. Witnesses describing one, the roasting carcass wafting through the smell coming into the black church. Black folks looking around going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And Cleo Wright raising his hand to God, begging for mercy, the mercy of death, to take him out of that agony. Now that's bad enough. When the grand jury holds its hearing to figure out whether somebody could be charged for this, I mean, you stormed a jail, you tied a man to the back of a bumper, you drove miles into another neighborhood, then you deliberately went and got 5 gallons worth of gasoline, and you poured it over him, and then you lit a match. Clearly something has really gone wrong here. The grand jury came back and said, no crime has been committed here because he was already dying. Now, when the NAACP investigated this, what the NAACP said is Cleo Wright and all of the Cleo Wrights before him are indicative of the lack of human rights for African Americans in the United States, the lack of education. They said, because what is happening is that when blacks were imported into the boot hill of Missouri to pick cotton, the point was to keep them as barely educated and as impoverished as possible so that they could be a cheap, exploitable labor pool that would have absolutely no rights. And Cleo Wright, in fact, best exemplifies that.
The preceding program is copyrighted by Emory University.
Trials come, sickness come, situation happens, but God is still worthy.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more now than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and it saves lives. This message is brought to you courtesy of Redhead Roofing LLC, your complete contractors with a reputation for quality work at prices you can afford. For an estimate, 318-467-1455. That's Redhead Roofing LLC in Lafayette, on the air because they care. Redhead Roofing LLC in Lafayette is another proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJO FL.
This is Wade Hampton in the Weather Center. Let's go ahead and take a look at our Tuesday weather forecast. In Shreveport, looking for partly cloudy skies with a high at 57 and a low at 36. Partly cloudy in Monroe with a high at 54 and an overnight low at 33. Lake Charles will be partly cloudy, a high at 60 and a low overnight at 38. Partly cloudy in Natchez, Mississippi with a high at 55 and a low at 33. And right here in the central city, we're looking for partly cloudy skies with a high at 57 and a low overnight at 34. And that's a look at your Tuesday weather forecast. I'm Wade Hampton.
Aren't you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Are you spending your tax refund as soon as you get it? Welcome to 360 Financial Services, where you can fix your credit, file your taxes, and increase your financial stability. Hi, I am Catrice Mason. Fix your credit by disputing every negative item on your credit report. No matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You'll be able to get a quote at no expense and file your taxes at 360 Financial Services. I'm also looking to partner with like-minded entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere with no background check and no overhead. Start 2021 with new goals, excellent credit, and a cash advance. God is opening new doors for you at 360 Financial Services. 318-730-8441.
360 Financial Services is a proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
I'm taking back.
I'm taking back.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
Information is powerful, but it's only powerful to the ears of the listeners. Public service announcements are very important to us here at KAYT-KQJO. If you have any public service announcements that you'd like to have aired here on KAYT-KQJO, as always, please feel free to send them 2 weeks in advance to KAYT, Attention, Bishop Kenny Townsend, at 5003 Masonic Drive, Suite 113, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71301. Or feel free to fax them 2 weeks in advance to 318-487-0909. Or you can hit us up on the World Wide Web at KAYT881news@gmail.com. Information is powerful, but only to the targeted listening audience. Here at KAYT, we want to help you get the word out. Send your public service announcement ASAP.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
We breaking the chains, no change remain. All for the 96, y'all for the 96. Y'all thought we was through. But we stumping. Can you feel me? I can't see ya, I can't free ya, but I know who can. And it goes a little something like this. You got your chain on the brain, making you feel weak whenever it be looking like you can't make it. You kind of feel like you're standing behind bars. You try to scream, but nobody's outside. But when you're in the fog, there's a cold. You're looking at your heart, then you take a note. You want to feel better, you best to get some luck.
Breaking away. Parental involvement is the key to your child's success at school. This is Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. Whether it's volunteering at school, communicating with teachers on a regular basis, or helping with homework, we know that parental involvement is crucially important. So get involved. Working together, parents and educators can make this a great school year for every student in Louisiana.
A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. My stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried. Things I've kept bottled up inside, trying my best to be strong, waiting on God and holding on. You don't know what I had to endure. Down. Yeah. You don't know. You don't know. You just don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Tell somebody you just don't know.
Right. First Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil.
It's all behind money.
Make the means.
Big and thin.
Let's not pretend.
It's all behind money.
Lost the things.
Lost the things.
Drowning sin.
Just fighting the wind.
Lord, forgive me
from my sins.
Make the means.
Make the means.
Big and thin.
Let's not pretend.
It's all behind money.
Lost the things.
Lost the things.
Baptized deep in the streets before I met G.O.D. Thought I had it together. Scattered out rattled with an auto mind, the devil entwined. He'll lead you blind. Every time chasing a dime, we couldn't see a dying contract you signed. To the lion's den, with no friends lost within. Didn't understand. In the can, cycle on repeat, cause I wanted to cheat. DC3G33, met G.O.D. and I rearranged, cause I needed change. And took it serious, cause I was killed, but I'm scared to live. But I'm willing, the process of healing, separate, evaluate, do what it take. A lot of stake, but I got God. When it's hard, the real rod. And my staff on my behalf, into the end. Grace for my sin, just to get in. The ultimate win, don't wanna lose. On snooze, so I choose to repent and understand what's meant in the message sent with all the hints. Stay focusing, don't bend over a win. If you do, just repent and make amends.
Make
amends.
Make
amends.
Make amends.
Make amends.
Big and thin.
Let's
not pretend.
It's all behind my
head. Lost the things.
Lost the things.
Drowning sin.
Just fighting the wind.
Lord, forgive me
from my sins.
Make the means.
Make the means.
Big and thin.
Let's not pretend.
It's all behind my head.
Lost the things.
Lost the things.
Drowning sin.
Just fighting the wind.
Lord, forgive me
from my sins.
Lord, forgive me because they out here killing. Never in their presence. They stay in their feelings. Whatever on the plate, we all for slipping. We make them shake. Got dealing, no season taken, so we all be giving. In the form of unity, we all should be winning. Moving so fast, play a heavy spinning. Gotta press reset right back to the beginning. No one on the streets I clown. Too strong and they can't compete. Skating players always trying to beat. Make me pull the trigger, leave them dead in the street. Bloodbath and you see the chalk. Just show what I'm talking about. Rap page on all that talk. Could have been avoided if you walked off. Just make amends until the end. Keep your faith and you swing. Don't get caught up in the midst of sin. Better pay attention, that's not your friend. Keep it real, play out the pen. Crucifix again. Drop to your knees and ask the Lord, forgive me
for my sins.
Make the means.
Make
the big and thin.
Let's not pretend.
It's all behind my head.
Lost the things.
Lost the things.
Drowning sin.
Just fighting the wind.
Lord, forgive me for my sins.
Make the means.
Make the means.
Too big and thin.
Let's not pretend.
It's all behind my head.
Lost the things.
Lost the things.
Drowning sin.
Just fighting the wind.
Lord, forgive me for my sins.
How many of you know that the Lord will fix anything? Hallelujah. I wrote this song some years ago. And he's the same God now. He still will fix it. My. He'll do it every time. He'll do it every time. Lisa, you hear it from Deborah. Let's hear from Lisa now. That's the sister.
For me, Lord,
y'all don't mind, we take take your time, woman. Deborah.